You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. We'll kick things off with a late game in the Premier League. Brentford taking on Manchester United. Some are expecting better from United than we've seen in the Premier League of late. Given that win against Liverpool in the FA Cup, goodness me, they did not bring it whatsoever. Brentford had 31 shots, but despite that, it would be Manchester United who would take the lead late on in the tie. Mason Mount coming off the bench to make it 1-0. It looked like it would be a smash and grab for Ten Hag's side, but Harewood score in the 99th minute to finish 1-1. What that means is that Manchester United are 8 points now off Spurs. That fifth spot looks like it will be a Champions League spot as well. They need a lot of help if they're going to be playing in the Champions League next season. For more on this, let's welcome in. Frank LaBeouf was watching that, as were you, Stevie. Wow, they were so bad.
Well, how many times have we seen it, though?
But was it just fairy tale? Was it you just kind of thought after what happened in that game against Liverpool?
No, I think you have to isolate the Liverpool game. Because, and the truth of the matter is that that is one game in which they have put a performance together. And that is not something I remember us saying for a long, long, long time. We've been criticising how this team has been finding a way to win games without actually playing well. And today was just another example of how they've managed to get a result without playing well. Mm. It's probably a worse performance than they've had for a long time as well. As bad as they've been, and as unconvincing as they've been, this is as bad as they've been in all of this season. And just for a couple of minutes, it almost seemed like the biggest smash and grab of the season.
Yep.
But in the end, you've got to say Brentford got something out of the game, which, had they not got anything, would have been an absolute travesty.
Frank, Brentford will be so disappointed overall that they didn't get the win here, because it could have quite easily been 3 or 4-1.
Well, definitely, Dan. I was frustrated because, you know, on a neutral point of view, you want to see, you know, a fair result. And when Mason Mount scored the goal, I said, wow, that's so unfair. Football can be so unfair sometimes. But they got it back. And it's maybe because they've been clumsy as well. I mean, you hit 3 times the post, you can be unfortunate, but you can be also clumsy. But overall, you know, the Bees deserve to win, like, big time. We talk about Manchester United having a bad game, but you have to congratulate the Brentford team and what they should have achieved, meaning a win. They've been everywhere. They work so hard defensively in the middle of the park, at front, of course, Tony, Bomber and Wissa, they work so hard, try to get some chances. Onana was very good as well, maybe the only one player who did his job, but that was amazing. What a game from the Bees. Yeah, Manchester United were bad. Is it because of them? Yeah, we see that a lot. Is it because the Bees have been good? I think a little bit of that.
It's one step forward, two steps back, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you look at it and you think, well, what was the plan of action going into this tie from Ten Hag?
I certainly can't answer that question. And you kind of keep going back to, and as much as Steve has seen, the Liverpool game was just a one-off. You keep going back to that and the long break and how that affected Manchester United. And listen, given that result, given the fact that you've got the likes of Lisandro Martinez coming back to fitness, Mason Mount playing a role yet again, the continued emergence of Kobbie Mainoo, things just seem to be trending in the right direction. And on the back of that game, I expected so much more from Manchester United. Now, let's keep in mind, while Brentford on their day are a very good team, especially at home, Brentford are sitting 5 points off the bottom three. Brentford, and they're there for a reason. One of those reasons being while the front three of Wissam, Wemo and Tony were good today, they haven't been for a lot of the season. And now all of a sudden, all these things, a team sitting 17th or 15th or whatever it is, 5 points out of the drop zone, are creating 31 chances against Manchester United. That speaks volumes. And I it just kind of gets you back to what's next for Manchester United. When you start to try to wonder and give them all this speculation about managers and players and financial fair play, you just wonder what gives.
You take a look at that starting 11 again, Stevie. Manchester United, some United fans throw in, well, what about all the injuries we've had? Look at this.
Look, I really don't think, if you're a Manchester United fan, you're really clutching at straws to turn around and say that because of the injuries they have, is why they're struggling.
But this is pretty much, he's close to first choice.
Yeah, but if you're a Man United fan, you would say, well, Martinez had to come on and he's not fit. And Mason Mount, he's not fit. And Casemiro's a bit... if you want to skirt around things, you can come up with excuses and reasons for bad performances. But the bottom line is, and it's the same for every single so-called big club that ever plays a game, the first thing you have to do is match the intensity and the physicality of the opposition. And once you do that, then the quality that you have, and you look at the names on the jerseys that you showed us, then the quality takes over. But if you don't do that initial first thing and face the battle and overcome it, then you're never going to be able to show your quality. And that is, today's game is a perfect example of how, from the first minute pretty much through the last, physically, United weren't up for the challenge. That's going to be a problem unless there's wholesale changes in the squad. Because this squad of players has shown that if anybody throws that at them, they can't handle it. And that isn't going to change. It's OK playing Liverpool, and it's OK when you play City, and you don't really need to get yourself up for it because the occasion takes care of itself. Mm. When you play the Wolves and the Brentfords and the Forests and all these teams, the first thing you always have to do is win the physical battle. And if you don't, you're not going to get anything from the game.
Of course, a lot of talk about who's going to be in charge at the start of the season. Given that this team keeps continuously, it's not an anomaly today, giving up all these opportunities, what does that tell you about Ten Hag and his inability to deal with that?
Well, it tells you that he doesn't know how to fix it, is basically the problem. We can argue that what he has at his disposal isn't good enough, and we can argue that he's not fixing it. So whichever route you want to go, nothing's going to change. Mm. And Manchester United have to make a change. And unfortunately, as always, the coach is usually the easiest change. And if he's not out the door at the end of the season, I'll be absolutely shocked.
It's incredible, Frank. It just keeps happening. They just keep giving up all these chances every single game.
Yeah, but that's what it is with those, I would say, those players also. I mean, we aim somebody like Ten Hag, or we're going to talk about Mauricio Pochettino after, but I want to talk about the players. I mean, the player that I met, that I played against when I was playing against Manchester United, in the middle of the park, for example, Roy Keane, Paul Scholes, Nicky Butt, they were warriors. I didn't see any warrior tonight at Manchester United. What made United being so strong is because they had warriors. Yeah, it's nice to have artists. It's nice to have Cantona, Beckham and some others. But at first, you need warriors. And I don't see that. I don't see that at the back. Or they make silly mistakes. I don't see that in the middle of the park. So you can blame the coach. Yeah, you can blame also the medical staff, the physical staff, you know, whatever you want to blame. But the players are on the field, and I don't see that anymore. Again, we're going to talk about Chelsea, but many clubs who are successful in the club who have in it some warriors. And I don't see that at Manchester United. I don't see that at Chelsea as well.
This season needs to finish if you're a Chelsea fan. It just feels like it's getting worse and worse. They were taking on lonely Burnley today at Stamford Bridge, And it was start okay. They get a penalty late on in the first half. We'd see Cole Palmer convert that in conceding the penalty. Burnley down to 10 men. But like we've seen so much this season, Chelsea just can't get out of their own way. Burnley would get the equaliser, get 1-1. Cole Palmer get his second to make it 2-1. But then we'd see O'Shea score for Burnley to make it 2-2. And I tell you what, Burnley had a great chance to make it 3-2. Jay Rodriguez denied by the crossbar. In the end, those spills are shared. That point doesn't really help Burnley, and it certainly doesn't help quieten those critics of Chelsea. Let's go to the former Chelsea man, shall we? Frank Leboeuf, how do you sum this up?
Oh, my God. I'm fed up, in fact. I'm fed up because, you know, you believe that something's going to happen. You say, okay, the season is already over, but you're going to play against Burnley. They play 11 against 10, so they're going to win. And they disappear. Nothing happens. You are 1-0 at halftime. You come back, and after 3 minutes, you concede a goal. Then you try to play a little bit. You score another goal. You say, okay, well, that's fine. And then after, it's terrible. And they, as you showed, they should have lost that game. 11 against 10. Chelsea Football Club against, all due respect, Burnley. That's the end of it. For me, that's the end of it. I want to congratulate the fans to be able to go, still go to Stamford Bridge to watch that. I mean, come on. That's not fair for the fans. That's just fair for history of Chelsea Football Club and for the former player that I am, and some others who are watching that and are so appalled about the situation. It's unfair to all those people, and I don't know what they're doing there. Players, as I talked before, they have no stamina. Nothing in their heart, nothing in their brain, don't know what to do. You play 11 against and you should thrash that team that you play against, and you let them come back and you almost lose that game. Come on, that's unprofessional. That's unfair, again, to those people who love that club.
How did it happen, Stevie?
It's hard to figure out. It really is. I mean, I felt like a Chelsea fan watching this. Because at 1-0, 10 men, you think the game's over. Mm. And the noise from the stadium sort of said that.
Right.
But then it goes to one each and all of a sudden it all changes and you're like, oh my goodness. Oh, but why should we be surprised? And then they go 2-1 up and you go, they've avoided that. And then it's 2-2 and then they hit the bar and then it's nearly 3-2. And you're trying to figure this whole thing out. And at the end of the day, they're just a team that's lost. It's got no real direction on the field.
So shouldn't Pochettino be leading that direction?
But he can't make any change. What changes can he make?
He said today that his team lacked the hunger that you need to compete in the Premier League.
I don't believe that. I just think they're lost. I think you've got a bunch. I could go through this team. Jackson's not a goal-scoring centre-forward. He had two chances today. He should have scored two. You can see the goalkeeper.
But Stevie, on paper, look at that.
I know.
Look at that team.
Yeah, but
that team should beat Burnley. 10-man Burnley easily.
Modric clearly doesn't know what his best game is. He doesn't know what suits his game best. Jackson, he's not a centre-forward. Gallagher is stuck between being a guy that just wins the ball, but a guy who's expected to try and make passes and score goals but can't. Fernandes and Caicedo, talk about 200 million down the pan. They both, again, just do a job. I mean, there's no... Wait, where's the playmaker? And the, listen, Cole Palmer, if you take Cole Palmer out of the side...
Yeah. Your relegation.
Nothing left. Yeah. There is absolutely nothing left. And defensively, they're at sixes and sevens. I mean, it's just a team that is badly put together. From the biggest standpoint, badly put together. No, not enough people with real strong characters that when things go badly, it's right, this is what we do. We all come in and then we're all strong, we're all together. There's none of that. And there's never any of that. They just look rudderless. And again, everybody will say, well, Pochettino has to sort that out. But if you don't have players in your team that you can rely on and you can be the general or whatever you want to call it on the field, then what are you supposed to do? You can only give so much instruction. The rest of it is down to the players. But when you don't have players who have that in the locker room, they don't have the ability to lead other men. And they don't have the ability to inspire other players. And they don't have the ability to coax or pat on the back or just be the difference on the field. They've got nobody, zero. So when things do go wrong, there isn't an obvious fix. There's not a fix for this team.
Frank?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with Stevie. And the problem is crazy because I've talked about that a lot and I'm fed up repeating myself. But as long as you don't have people to rely on, as Stevie explained, meaning experienced players, you cannot build anything. When you try to have an academy team because you want to do a trading business, it's what you're facing. You have Thiago Silva, he's injured, he's most of the time, for most players, the father of those players. You should have a Sterling who could help Pochettino in that matter. He does it on the goal that Cole Palmer scored, but he has to finish the action and win the 3-2, and he doesn't. So he's not the player you can rely on, and we saw that last week. So you don't have nobody else. It's a team of young players with no experience, and as long as you're going to stay in that spirit and way of thinking a club, you won't be successful because it doesn't work like that. We have, by experience, seen many times that club who tried that never been successful. So you have to mix experience with youth players, and that's how it works. It cannot work. The reaction today showed that you have no, again, personality, character inside the dressing room because they're too young. It's not even their fault. The people in the board destroyed that club. That's what you have to face. And how you're going to rebuild that, I don't know. It's going to take a long time. But you have to change your way of thinking that. Stop the training business. Put some experienced players in a summer market. Otherwise, you're going to face the same problems next season.
But they're all on 25-year deals, Frank.
I know. I don't know. It's why I say it's hard to find something. I'm not saying that you have to get rid of the players. If you can, because I know with the fair play and everything, you have to buy players. And again, last season, Maddison, Ward-Prowse, they're not expensive players. We saw how important they've been for Spurs and West Ham. You just think football. You know, you have people who are there, the scouts, to find the right people. You don't have to spend 100 million to have a number 10. And that's why I'm talking about Maddison and Ward-Prowse. You can find those players who are very useful. We know football. We know the Premier League. We have the experience and can help you out. But if you just go for 100 million young guy who had 20 games in the Liga or French Liga, hey, it's not gonna be the solution.
And they've got Lucky. Sorry, Shaq. Right. They've got Lucky as well. I'm saying without Cole Palmer, this team's got nothing. Mm. Cole Palmer still doesn't know how to play 90 minutes because he still drifts in and out of the game. Today, for the first 15 minutes, he was fantastic. He was getting on the ball. He had a lot of shots. Some of them he shouldn't have taken. But then he disappears. He disappears. And then he reappeared with about 15 minutes to go in the second half. And when he reappears, all of a sudden, Chelsea change. So even the best player they have still hasn't figured out how to play in 90 minutes yet, because he's so young and inexperienced.
Here's the thing for me, and while we criticise Manchester United wrongly, and rightly so, it's almost easier to do that because you know who those players are, what they're good at, what they're not so good at. But I really struggle to figure Chelsea out. Other than putting the price tag into some kind of context, it just feels like a god-awful team. But how do I sit here and say Caicedo's a god-awful player? Mm. How do I sit here and say Enzo Fernandez is a god-awful player? But that's just every time I see Chelsea play, that's where I feel their level is. So to my original point, it's almost easier to criticise Manchester United because you know when Rashford's good, what he's going to do, when Bruno Fernandes is good, what he's going to do, and you could go through the entire team and say that about their individuals. With Chelsea, other than reputations, you can't really put your finger on who does what well for Chelsea.
What does Modric do? Modric is
scoring for Ukraine during the international window, and you think, all right, bring some of that back, you know, and then again, given this performance, if you just look at Modric today and then ask the question, what does he really do well? A neutral observer can't give you an answer.
Haaland, De Bruyne, Stevie and Shepherd's Pie, Shaka and Naps, all great teammates. But what's the perfect teammate for growing your business? Well, that's Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify makes it easy for you to show up exactly the way you want to. Customize your online store to your style with gorgeous, flexible templates and powerful tools. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/FC. That's all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/FC now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/FC.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
What a day it would prove to be in Germany. Earlier on, we saw Bayer Leverkusen come from behind to beat Hoffenheim by 2-1 late in that tie. So that means that they were 13 points clear of Bayern Munich as they went into the Klassiker against Borussia Dortmund. And Borussia Dortmund would win by 2-0. Thomas Tuchel said, that's it. It is over. We're not going to win the Bundesliga now. Let's get some reaction, shall we, from the Allianz Arena. As Archie Rintat was joined by Thomas Hertzfeld and Arne Frieda to talk to Edin Terzic and Thomas Tuchel.
Right before the second goal, I think it was like 20, 25 passes before you scored. Was that one of the key like goals before the game to also have the ball, obviously?
Yes. This is what I said, when we need to be brave. We need to be brave on the ball. We need to be brave also to play with one or two touches. For that, you need a good activity. And this is what we did. We've been brave in terms of jumping out of the position, blocking shots, blocking crosses, but also in terms of ball possession. And this was the key. This is something where we really improved during the last couple of weeks, during the last couple of games. But we still know that we need to show this kind of performances in the next games as well. Then we're going to have big chances to have a good finish of the season.
What was going through your heads on the touchline during the game as this was all playing out? Emotionally,
I could not understand why we don't accelerate. I could not understand why we're hesitating so much, why our game is so slow, why we're not going for the gaps. The gaps were there. We had 2-10 positions next to one number six. We want to play diagonal. Why don't we play diagonal? Why don't we force them, fix them, eliminate them, penetrate the last 20 meters like we did, I think, 2-3 times, and we had 3 big chances. Like every time we accelerated, but why to do it 3 times? Why not to do it 30 times in one half? So again, we fall asleep in our own ball possession. It was way too much to the side. No one was going for the gaps. We encouraged them in halftime, but did not get really better. We tried to inject some energy from the bench, but yeah, stayed tough.
Difficult on a day like today, but just finally, what gives you hope for that Arsenal game?
That is not the first time. That it's not the first time that it happens to us, and it's not the first time that we bounce back with a crazy good performance. That is basically the hope. It's a bit strange, but it's actually it. And we also, like, if we are honest, we would not have the guarantee, like, if we perform today on highest level, that we do this again in Heidenheim. This is our point since many months. that we struggle to find this consistency. So today we didn't find. Now we will prepare Heidenheim, and we are able to beat Arsenal, even if today this is very hard to believe. But we have very, very different performances within a short period of time. So this is not new for us.
So what does that mean? It's pretty much done and dusted, isn't it? 13 points separate Bayer Leverkusen and Bayern Munich at the top of the table. On the call for this game for us was Derek Ray and Stuart Robson. Let's get some reaction from them about what they saw take place in Munich.
Well, a night of history for Borussia Dortmund. It had been a wretched run here in Munich, stretching back a decade, 9 successive defeats, 37 goals conceded. And Stuart, many feared another thrashing. But the importance of that early goal from Karim Adeyemi can't be overstated.
Well, we heard Edin Terzic talk before the game about how in previous games they've conceded the first goal and then they've had to try and chase the game, and then Bayern have had the ability to pick them off and play through them. That wasn't the case today. They scored the first goal and they could stay compact, they could keep their shape, they defended brilliantly, but they also counter-attacked with pace, and they posed Bayern Munich a real problem. Overall, it was a good performance in every facet of the game.
But it's never going to be a stress-free performance for the visiting side here in Munich. And Bayern did have their chances. Harry Kane had a good one. Eric Dier had a good one in the first half.
Well, in the first half, quite a lot of the play was coming down Bayern Munich's right-hand side. Kimmich was playing quite high up on the right-hand side. He was trying to get in behind Adeyemi, who wasn't always recovering back. So they kept on getting the ball out, and he got a couple of really good crosses in, and Harry Kane should have scored. There was an easy chance. Harry Kane didn't play very well throughout the whole game. You know, he didn't link up the play, he didn't win his aerial duels, he didn't get his shots away when he could have done. So it was a poor performance for him. But you have to give credit to the two centre-backs, who we criticised before the game. Schlotterbeck was excellent today, and Hummels, I thought, was man of the match. He was absolutely fantastic. His positional play, his determination, his reading of the game, and also his ability on the ball.
Yeah, an absolute rock, wasn't he, Mats Hummels? And Dortmund very quietly have put together a 5-match winning sequence in all competitions, and that's good news because they have a hammer schedule coming up, including two games in the Champions League against Atletico.
Yeah, the only thing I would say about today is that one side wanted to win it and wanted to put in a good performance. The other side felt as though there was, or played as if there was nothing on it. And that allowed Borussia Dortmund to have a foothold in the game. That might not be the case against Atletico Madrid. That might not be the case against Stuttgart. They're going to be tough games where it's going to be flat out. They're going to have to play equally as well in those games to get anything out of them.
And Bayern, for their part, have got Heidenheim next before they have to think about Arsenal, and those games against Arsenal won't be especially easy. But it's Dortmund's night. They are full of Easter cheer here at the Allianz Arena.
Thank you very much, guys. Of course, now attention will turn to the German Cup. Bayern Munich knocked out, of course, in the early rounds. Saarbrücken will take on Kaiserslautern. That's on Tuesday. And then on Wednesday, Bayer Leverkusen taking on Fortuna Düsseldorf. Those games live on ESPN+. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match. With Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Barcelona will close the gap on Real Madrid to 5 points at the top of La Liga table as they beat Las Palmas by 1-0. And Las Palmas played much of the game with just 10 men as their goalkeeper, Vias, would be sent off for a clear red card challenge. Barca thought they'd open the scoring actually before that. Rafinha with the goal. However, the VAR judged that the ball hadn't been deliberately played by the defender, so therefore Rafinha was offside. That goal would be chalked off. He would, though, score in the second half. Lovely assist from João Félix to play him in to make it 1-0. João Félix then with an incredible miss, which went off the underside of the bar. In the end, it didn't really matter, as Barca then remains second in the table. Real Madrid in action on Sunday against Athletic Club. Meanwhile, you take a look at things at the bottom of the table. Las Palmas sit 12th. They're fine. They won't get relegated this season. For more on this, let's welcome in, shall we? Luis Garcia is with us. Luis, in the end, 1-0. Job done for Barcelona. Apart from that, it's just a case of moving on, isn't it?
Yes. I think that's just enough to get the result, to get the 3 points, to close the gap with Real Madrid. But I would have loved to see the 11v11 game. To be honest, I enjoy more Barcelona in the first 25 minutes, but what we saw right after when Las Palmas got 1 man less, because they got slower, they got predictable, they went flat, and I think that that's not the Barcelona we've seen in the past month and a half or so. It's true that we could have seen a few more goals if João Félix or Lewandowski were a little bit more accurate, but I wanted to see more about this Barcelona that today we couldn't see, because Las Palmas dropped down deep, they sit at the back a little bit waiting for their option in a counter-attack, and didn't allow this Barcelona to use the spaces. But in the end, I think it's a good result. Another clean sheet for Barcelona to keep that momentum going and see what happens tomorrow between Real Madrid against Athletic Club. That kind of will decide what is going to happen until the end of the season if Real Madrid finds again another win and probably put this league to bed.
Luis, if we go through the Luis Garcia archives, would we ever find a miss as bad as this one?
Not that close. No, that was my kind of range. If you are right there, you have to make sure that you put the ball right in, at least hit the target. And I think it's a little bit bouncy because of the rain, because of the movement of the ball. But in the end, with the quality and talent, I think he saw the ball so clear that he relaxed himself. The body went back a little bit and that ball went too high. So it was a big mistake from João Félix. That is a pity, because I think that he got into the game very well with that fantastic pass to Rafinha.
Yeah, a big mistake from him. Obviously didn't cost his team, unlike the goalkeeper, Shan.
Yeah.
What's it like when you're in that situation?
It's a little terrifying to start with. Listen, we've all been there, and more times than not, if you find yourself in no man's land as well as here, you just commit to that one decision. And you trust that either you get close enough that the striker plays the ball into you and you get away with it somehow. But what Rafinha does here is he's too quick for Vaez, too clever in that he knows that he just has to get a touch around him, make sure it doesn't catch Vaez on the knee or anything of the sort, because then that saves the goalkeeper. Rafinha does everything that's asked of him and Vaez pays the price.
So as Luis says, all eyes now will be on the Santiago Bernabeu tomorrow. Real Madrid taking on Athletic Club. That game live on ESPN Plus at 2:30 Eastern. Before that is Girona against Real Betis.
With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results. Fast. Constant Contact makes it easy to promote your business with powerful tools like email and SMS marketing, social media posting, and even events management. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. Don't know much about marketing? No sweat. Constant Contact's writing assistance tools and automation features help you say the right thing at the right time, every time. Plus, you can send with confidence, knowing your emails are actually reaching your customers thanks to Constant Contact's best-in-class 97% deliverability rate. Tackle any challenge with Constant Contact's expert live customer support. Plus, everything's backed by their 30-day money-back guarantee. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
What a way it was to start the day on Saturday in the Premier League. Newcastle and West Ham played that 7-goal thriller. At one stage, West Ham were 3-1 up, and a controversial penalty would be awarded to the host. It would be converted by Isaac, and then that would give Newcastle the momentum, cheered on by a capacity crowd at St James's, as in the end, they'd win by 4-3. Before we get to some of the big talking points from the game, how great was this game, Jim?
Oh, absolutely was. Listen, I thought once West Ham went 3-1 up, that game was done and dusted. I just felt that that late goal and the controversy around it late in the second half, in the first half, maybe took a little bit of wind out of the sails, out of Newcastle United. And then West Ham build on that early in the second half. But then once you get that going, I know we get to it, this is when St. James's Park is at its absolute best. When they just sense that something big is about to happen. When the team is behind and all of a sudden momentum changes. That's when the St. James's Park crowd is at its best. And it was telling. And to be fair, the players responded. I said during the highlight that Harvey Barnes has been a big miss during the season when in his times of injury. And you see exactly why. Coming off that left-hand side with pace, he just gives a different look to Newcastle United and two incredible goals to snatch all 3 points.
Let's get to the penalty, shall we? Before we do, our colleague, friend, Craig Burley, tweeting about it. That's Craig smiling. Getting your body in between an opposing player and the ball has been going on since day dot. Last time I checked, you are not allowed to kick the aforementioned player, or you could just say, what was I supposed to do? Frank, what do you think? Do you agree with Craig, or do you agree with the boys here in the studio?
No. I really think it's a penalty because, yeah, it's true that Gordon doesn't touch the ball, but you're not allowed to kick some players. So Kevin Phillips maybe doesn't see it, but there is Gordon's leg, and he kicks it. So there is a penalty. It's clear for me. It's not an obstruction. It's nothing that you consider as a foul from Gordon. He misses the ball, yeah. But Kevin Phillips kicks it. So for me, it's a clear penalty.
The key is in what Craig says, for me, for the second one. You know, the first one he says, get your body in the way, has been going on since year dot. I agree 100%. However, Gordon doesn't get his body in the way. He hooks his leg round and gets nowhere near the ball. Gets nowhere near the ball. Can you imagine if we were running around the field and you just, everybody did that, just put your leg in front of somebody when they're going to, when they're taking a swipe? They'd be laughing at us.
Yeah, but Stevie is still.
They'd be laughing at us.
Stevie is still.
You have to be. You have to be somewhat going to get the ball. There must be some part of the decision has to be about the foul is because the opponent is going to get the ball. Surely there has to be some sort of common sense along that. Not just the fact that you hook your leg round and put your foot in the way. Because that's all he's done. You're supposed to go for the ball. If going for the ball, you end up getting kicked, that's a different ball game. But just to hook your leg round and put it in the way of the guy clearing the ball and having nothing to do with the ball, that cannot be right.
Where do you stand, Shaq, on this?
Go ahead, Shaka. I really think that Gordon goes for the ball. He goes for the ball. And you're not allowed to kick a player again. You know, even if it would be his arm. And imagine Calvin Phillips kick his arm. Yeah, it's a foul. But whatever
get,
it is.
If you get nowhere near it, if you're not even close
that, to that, that's... So, I agree with Frank in that Gordon goes for the ball. But he misses it. And once he does... Gordon misses the ball. And once he does, Calvin Phillips is free to continue his clearance. Gordon's back is to the ball. The ball he makes a play for it, misses it, his back is the ball is virtually behind him. So I'm not sure how the argument comes. Well, he's put himself in position, or he's gotten himself between man and ball. He tried to tackle, missed, and then got a kick for his efforts. That for me is not a penalty.
Last words of this week, because we're going around in circles here, Frank.
I understand what the guy is trying to express, and I understand that the philosophy of football is you try to play the ball. If you don't play the ball and you misses it, you're out of the system. But in that matter, again, if I, for example, I face you, Shaka, and the ball is behind me, and I don't play the ball, and you kick me, is that a foul or not?
You're not playing the ball.
Yeah, the ball is behind me. I'm just being you, facing you, and the ball behind me. And you kick me.
Then it's obstruction.
What do you expect?
If you're not playing the ball and you just playing me, stopping me from getting to the ball, that's obstruction.
That's obstruction. That's a foul.
If you're not playing the ball.
Oh, okay. Okay, we didn't play same football then. I'm sorry.
Okay. There we go. Yeah. That's it.
I'll show you one day.
We're going around in circles. Manchester City take on Arsenal.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be no controversial decisions. Nope. It'll just be all about the game tomorrow. Of course, it is huge given there is just one point that separate the two. Let's take a look at the predictions then, shall we? From the world. City, a victory, says Shaka, Luis, Ali and Frank. Robbo and Craig, meanwhile, going for an Arsenal victory. Myself, Kay, Kieran and Stevie going for a draw. Frank, why do you think City will have that difference?
Because I still think that in that game, and Guardiola expressed that game as a final, the experience and the fact that they play at home will make the difference for the citizens. So I really see them winning 3-2, which is going to be a short margin comparing to last season.
3-2 would be great, wouldn't it, Shaq? You've gone for a tighter game.
Yeah, I think just kind of given...
Remember what you said?
1-0. Given some of the players that City are missing, I don't expect it to be open and as attacking as you would normally expect. And then you have two managers who absolutely know each other. So I feel it'll be a really tactical battle. But we'll be decided on, as I've said all along with this Arsenal team, while they're playing the best football in the league, certainly, me and arguably by some stretch, it's these big moments. It's these moments that they don't have the experience of a City or a Liverpool do that may ultimately cost them. I think on the day, at City's ground, at the Etihad, I just feel City get the better of a tense affair.
Any concern you're agreeing with me, Stevie?
On this occasion, no. I'm hoping you just followed me.
I didn't follow, yes. Exactly. So yes, I decided to follow you. Meanwhile, Sheffield United thought maybe they would get a rare home victory here as they were taking on Fulham. This was a crazy game in the second half, but what an equaliser it would be from Fulham after finding themselves 3-1 down at one stage. I mean, it's here. He's kind of come out of nowhere to be Fulham's hero. What a strike that is as it finishes 3-3. Taking a look at what that means, Sheffield United obviously in massive trouble at the bottom of the table, joined by Burnley. Meanwhile, Luton with that defeat against Spurs remain in 18th. Forest got a point against Crystal Palace. That one finished 1-1. Bournemouth might meanwhile beat Everton, who cannot find a victory at the moment. Bournemouth winning by 2-1, which puts them up to 13th, and you would certainly say safe. What are we saying, from Palace down, or is it okay? Palace and Brentford okay?
Ooh. Everton Forest,
Luton.
Brentford will be all right.
They should be all right. Meanwhile, in our feature game today, we, of course, saw Barcelona beat Las Palmas 1-0. Since Xavi said he's leaving, they've been brilliant. 11 games, 8 wins, 3 draws. Gemma caught up with him after the game.
Hola, Xavi. It was such an important to win today after the international break to put pressure on Real Madrid. But I don't know if you're a bit disappointed because you were unable to close the game and maybe you could score some more.
Yes, I think it happened a lot of times this season that we don't score the second one and then we suffer too much. In my opinion, I think it's not just too much difficult that we cannot score the second one. So it did happen many times. I insist many times. But we need to suffer. It's a season for suffering a lot, and of course it's a big win, very important win, and now rest and prepare well Champions League.
So in the second half, you felt you were needing João Félix. He came out of the bench and 4 minutes he does that amazing assist and then.
Yes, this is João. João has talent. He makes the difference for the team again today. Today I had doubts in the lineup, but we needed more Rafa and Lamine to go deep against this defensive line too high from Las Palmas, and then João. We needed in the second half between lines to put more talent for the team, and he made the difference.
So you had a TV today. Did you understand that disallowed goal of Rafinha in the first half?
Yeah, I think it's a mistake. It's a mistake from the referee. It's very clear.
And just the last one. You have 10 days now to prepare PSG. Do you think the team is on the right path? The mentality is the right one?
Yes, I think we are in the best moment of the season. We are ready to compete. We are excited because we are in quarter final. Of course, we have a big club, a big coach, a big team in front, but okay, I think we can compete.
Just a reminder, La Liga continues tomorrow. A big game at Santiago Bernabeu. Real Madrid take on Athletic Club. And then on Monday, it's Villarreal against Atleti. All those games live on ESPN+. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your question. What a day. Great day. I don't think anyone sat at home going, oh, I want international football back. Shaka's here. Stevie here. Frank joins us as well. First question. I think we need to just not talk about this. Is Bayern not winning the title this year due to Tuchel or the Kane curse? This Kane curse is pathetic.
Oh, I see.
It's like, I don't know why it's even a thing, because Spurs haven't won anything in years. England haven't won anything in years. What do you expect? Him going to Bayern scoring a million goals, it's not his fault they haven't won. Yeah. Well, that's taken the air out.
All right, there I go.
You were so excited at the start.
I know, you were like, oh, what a good day.
Yesterday
has been great.
Having a fantastic day today.
It's childish.
Well, why did you put it in?
I don't know.
And let's be fair.
That was the mistake.
For us to accuse something of being...
I know, it's just...
For us to accuse something of being childish.
It's just...
Takes up doing.
It's from F. LaBeouf at World Cup winner. Stevie.
No. If it had been from Frank, it would have been about Frank. So it's not Frank.
This is Booner.
Yeah.
All right, Stevie. How is it possible for Tuchel to go from one of the best coaches in the world to the worst in just 2 seasons?
Well, it seems like he upsets a lot of people.
Yes.
And so if you go to clubs that have owners and players and staff that don't respond to somebody whose particular manner is a certain way, then that's probably why he doesn't last.
How far has his stock fallen?
Oh, a lot.
Yeah. To be fair, I thought I didn't think he was to blame for the Chelsea. I thought There was just so much going on with Chelsea, with the change of ownership and whatnot.
Yeah, and they wanted their guy in.
Yeah, so you make what they want of that. And then I don't think Bayern handled Nagelsmann's dismissal well at all. But you come in, you take over a team that go on this long run of at the time, what was it?
11 years.
It was 10 years. You take over at 10. You limp over the line to make it 11. But then you have an opportunity to reset. And you reset very well indeed. You spend a lot of money on Harry Kane. So this has put him back to where he was immediately post PSG.
Shaka, has Onana started to justify United signing him?
I think he's been really good of late, Andre Onana. And in a poor team. During the show, we're saying nobody's conceded more shots than Manchester United this calendar year. But Onana, I think, has stood up to that test.
What month is it?
What month is it? March.
March. Yeah. We're at the end of March.
We're nearly in April. When's the season finish?
Well, May.
May.
Yeah.
Oh, he's coming good at the right time, then, eh?
You have nothing positive to say about him?
I don't disagree that recently he's been really good.
Right.
Well, unfortunately, he forgot about the first 6-7 months of the season.
I think that's a bit harsh. I don't know, 6-7 months, was it?
Well, listen, if
are you so,
listen, we criticise players. We criticise players that come for large amounts of money when they don't produce.
Yes.
So when the goalie comes for large amounts of money and there's question marks for 6 months of the start of the season.
I think 6 months is, I think the stretch.
No, it's not.
First couple of months, I think you're definitely so. I think you've stretched that.
No.
The question is, has he started to justify it? And the answer is, yes, he started to justify it of late. That's what's implied there.
Right, which I agreed with you.
Right. That's got nothing to do with the question.
The season's over 6 weeks.
What are you looking up there?
Frank, who does Cole Palmer remind you of? And could he actually carry the Chelsea team at his age?
Carry them where?
Well, oh, my God. Hard to say.
Well, he is carrying them.
From Chelsea, especially from Chelsea?
I think just any player, if you like, Frank. Anyone spring to mind? Don't force it. It's OK.
I try not. Because he's a lefty and a tall one, it's hard to compare. There was one player that I played with, and he played for Paris Saint-Germain, Strasbourg. He's a French player, played Xavier Gravelin, played for the national team. He was a left-footed and he was very talented as well. But I think Palmer is quite quicker than Xavier. So otherwise, he's playing in Premier League. I don't have anybody that I can see being like, I don't know, you guys have any ideas of players that can say, oh yes, you're right.
Reminds me of Gravelin as well.
Yeah.
When I see Gravelin, yep. Who played with Strasbourg.
Yes, Strasbourg, yeah, PSG, former
that's
French.
That's the first player came to my mind.
Yeah.
Stop lying, Shaka. That's not very nice, we can see that.
Who was the youngster that Manchester City had last year? He looks a bit like him. How many more games does Ten Hag get as Manchester United manager, Frank, with these terrible performances?
How many games have
they got? Nine left, eh? 29.
Well, I think he's going to get until the end of the season, for sure.
Yeah.
They're going to wait. He's going to play the FA Cup final, I guess. So, he's going to have until the end of the season. After, they will have to make a big decision, I think.
Yeah, they won't do anything for the FA Cup semi-final, FA Cup final, that lot.
If they lose the semi-final, do you just sack him right there?
End of the season.
If they lose the semi-final...
That'd be Onana's fault.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to claim a goal? This isn't quite the right question for this panel. Have you ever tried to claim a goal that was clearly an own goal?
Tried to claim an assist.
was that Anton Ferdinand?
Yes.
Shaka, when you say assist...
I continue to claim it.
Yes.
What happened?
Ah?
You booted it?
No.
It's a corner. We were one down at Spurs.
You went up for it?
Went up.
Took some players away.
As I was coming for the header, I saw Anton out of the corner of my eye in a better position. So I let it let go to him.
No. Yeah. Stevie, if you watch the video, Mr. Hislop ducks out the way.
No, Stephen.
I might have a look at it.
No, Stephen.
Yeah, have a look on YouTube.
It was clever use of my body.
That's it. That's all the questions we got today. Frank, would you like to add anything in life?
No, no, I want to wish you a very good evening where I'm going to wish myself a very good night.
Okay, beautiful. Bonsoir.
Good night.
We'll be back tomorrow to reflect, of course, on Arsenal against Manchester City. What a game that should be. Plus Real Madrid in action against Athletic Club as well. We'll be with you once again on ESPN+.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate is to not search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/FC. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.